Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we were discussing Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah thrown into the furnace at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Today's shiur will be beginning with the last three words on the bottom of Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, Omar of Yochanan. Gedolim tzadikim yoser mimalachei hashoreis. Greater are the righteous than the angels. Shenemar. We now have a posuk. A lot of Aramaic words will be following. And in this posuk, you will notice that malachim are referred to only toward the end of the posuk. Before that, however, are a reference to the tzadikim. And hence, this gives rise to Rabbi Yochanan's comment that tzaddikim are greater in that they are placed earlier or before the reference to malochim. The pasuk says, "One ve'omar ho ano chozei guvrin arba'o, four men, shirayin mahalchin begol nura, v'chavol lo isai behon. I saw them walking in the fire, and no injury befell them." Vereve di revi'o domi levar Elohin, and the form of the fourth one was that of an angel. So that you can see that only number four was the form of an angel. The three beforehand, this of course a reference to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were placed beforehand. Omar of Tanchum bar Chaniloi, b'shosh yotzu Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah mikishon ha'esh. When they exited the furnace unscathed, the nations of the world came and made a type of offhanded gesture, literally hit the Soneim Sheyisrael is a euphemism, literally translated the enemies of Israel, but it's a euphemism referring to the Jewish people. So the nations of the world came and hit the Jewish people on their faces, so to speak. Omru Lahem, and the nations of the world said to the Jews, how is it that you have such a wonderful God that's capable of doing such amazing miracles, and here you are bowing down to a statue? Yesh lochem eloka kozeh, you have such a God, the atem mishtachavim letzelem, and you're bowing down to a molten image. Miad posku v'yomru, and immediately they opened and said, L'cho Hashem hatzdoka, unto you is righteousness, O God, v'lonu boishes haponim kayom hazeh, and we are embarrassed. Omar Rab Shmuel bar Nachmen Omar Rab Yonasan, my dichtiv, what is the meaning of the posuk? Omarti, ele besomar, ochazo besansinov. Omarti, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, ele betomar, elu Yisrael. The Rashi, toward the upper part of the page, says, Ani omarti shekola tomor sheli, hu, sheyu bohem tzadikim harbe. I thought that the tomor, the palm tree, which is an analogy to Israel. Israel is compared to a palm tree. So that I thought that they were full of tzadikim. The Gemara continues, V'achshav lo olo biyodi ela sansan echod shel Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. And now I behold that I have only one branch, so to speak, that of these three tzadikim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing a feeling of disappointment, kiviyochol. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv ro'isi halaylo v'inei ish rochev al sus odoim fu'oimeid bein ha'adasim asher ba'metzula. The continuation of the posuk is, v'achrov susim adumim srukim ulevonim. That we've included that on the side of the Gemara, as you can see with the star. My ro'isi halaylo. We're now going to go over this pasuk with the Gemara's explanation. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lafuch es kol ha'olam kulo lalayla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seeing that the Jewish people were bowing down to this statue that's featured in the Tanakh, and as a result of that seemingly abandoning the worship of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to destroy the world, to turn it all over into night, into darkness. V'nei ish rochev. Ein ish el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word ish in this pasuk is a reference to the Almighty. He is referred to by the term ish, as you can see elsewhere, Shenema Hashem ish milchama Hashem shemo. And you can see we've dashed, underlined the word ish to emphasize that this is used in proximity of Hashem. The pasuk that we were commenting on earlier from Zechariah says, Al sus odoim, bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lafoich es ha'olam kulo ledam. The word odom, meaning literally red, also blood in this case, redness reference to blood, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to change the whole world, to destroy it, turn it all into blood. However, Kevon Shinistakil Bechananya, Mishael Vazaria, when he saw these tzaddikim, Niskaro Daito, he was comforted. Shinemar Vuhu Oimed Bein Hadasim Asher Bamatsula. Again, a reference to the pasuk that we are analyzing. Vein Hadasim Elo Tzaddikim. That the word Hadasim is a reference to the righteous, Shinemar Vi Oimein Es Hadasa. In the story of Purim, the Queen Esther is also referred to by the term Hadasa, a reference to righteousness. The Ein Mitsula. And once again, this is a quote from the Pasuk before, from Zechariah Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. The word Metzula is a reference to Ela Bovel, is a reference to Babylonia. Shenamar Ho'imer Letzula Charbi Venarosecho Ovish. And that is a reference, as we said, to the nation of Bovel. Miad Meleim Roiges Nasesrukim. So upon noticing the tzaddikim that did exist in Klal Yisrael, those that were full of wrath are now made srukim. Ve'adumim na'asu levonim. Let's go over this again. Looking at Rashi, srukim, tzvuim, v'achakach na'asu levonim. So that those that were full of wrath, when he saw the tzaddikim, so they were then, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then, who was full of wrath, saw the tzaddikim, then he became quieted. This, by the way, is a quote. This piece of Gemara that we just read involves quotes from the continuation of the pasuk that we had written on the side. We had noted above the continuation of the pasuk had said, V'achrov susim adumim srukim ulevonim, so that the Gemara here is explaining those that were full of color and wrath, if you will. Often when a person becomes angry, his face turns red. So these expressions of srukim and adumim, srukim, then turned into levonim, turned into white, which is a sign of peace and quiet. Amar Papa Shmamina, if we see from this Pasuk, Susya Chivra Ma'ali L'Chilma. Noticing in a Chilma dream, a Susi Chivra, a white horse, is a sign of a positive nature. Because in the Pasuk, when dealing with wrath, you see the expression Susim Adumim Srukim, Adumim Srukim being used in the context of wrath. So if and then that changes to Lavan, which is the sign of peace. So a white horse is a positive sign. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a double underline. This is one of our series markings. The note on the outside margin, the Mivneh, has featured a double underline. The issue here is Lehechon Ozal. Where did they go? We're going to be talking in the Gemara as we go on. We'll see a couple opinions regarding Hanani Mishova Zarya, who after the story of the furnace and their salvation, we don't see any further reference to them. As a result of that, the Gemara is going to be asking, where did they go? V'rabonon, that being a reference to Hananiah Mishol Hazayah, Lehecha Ozlu, where did they go? Omar Rav says, Ba'ayin Hora Mesu. They actually died because of the Ayin Hora, the amazement that people, that was arisen in the eyes of the people, caused an Ayin Hora, the evil eye, to work over these tzaddikim, and they ended up dying. Ushmuel Omar Baroik Tavu. They drowned in spit. Now, what's the spit that's being referred to over here? Rashi explains Baroik Tavu. Rashi says, Ba'oisei Roik Shirokiku Umo Sa'olam B'Yisrael. The same spit that was made reference to above, when we saw after they escaped the fire, the Umo Sa'olam, the nations of the world, came and we spoke about them coming and hitting them on their face. In this context, we see they spat upon the Jewish people and said to them, how can you abandon such a wonderful God? Rashi continues, Shomrim Eloka Kozeh Yeshlehem Vishtach Avisem Latzelem. You have such a wonderful God and you turn around and bow to a statue. So the a massive amount of spit, if you will, came and drowned these tzaddikim. It's pretty certain that these types of gemaras need further explanation. It's hard to imagine a pool of spit that great, but the understanding of them on the superficial level is well understood, that as a result of the chastisement of the nations of the world, these tzaddikim died. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, a third pshat, is Olu Le'eretz Yisrael. The Hanani Meshach Azayah left Bavel, entered Israel, Venosu Noshev, Olidu Bonim Ubonos. And they, after marrying women, they bore children, girls and boys and girls. Kitanoi, the following Tanaic source reflects the different opinions we just saw in the Amoroyim. Rabbi Elazar Omer, and you can see there's a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact there's a frame around this section of Gemara. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ba'ayin Hora Mesu. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Baroik Tavu. V'chachomim Amu Olu L'Eretz Yisrael, V'nosu Noshim, V'holidu Bonim U'bonos. Shenemar, Shmano Yehoshua HaKoyin HaGodol, Ato V're'echo HaYoshvim L'fonecho, Ki Anshei Moifes Hema. The Posuk speaks to Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. And we see that since we're dealing with Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, and we know he was in Eretz Yisrael, together with him is a reference to the Anshei Moifes. Who are the Anshei Moifes? Ezo Heim Anoshim Shinasu Lohem Moifes. Who are the men that experienced a Moifes, a miracle? Hevi Omer, Ze Chananya Mishael Vazaya. So as we said, according to this third opinion, the opinion of the Chachomim, they went to Eretz Yisrael after Bavel and raised families. V'doniel lehechonozal. With the double underlining, you see that we're connecting this to what we mentioned before. Where did, in this case, where did he go? Where did Doniel go? Doniel was a prominent figure in the story of Nebuchadnezzar. And the question now is, he was not thrown in the fire, so where was he at that time? Omar Rav, he went off Lemichro Naro Rabo B'Tveria. He was sent to dig a river in Tveria. Ushmul Omar Lasuye Bizro Das Pasta. He was sent to get aspasta, is a type of grass. Aspasta, bizra, are seeds. These grass seeds. The Rashi points out that Nebuchadnezzar sent him to do this. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lasuye Chaziri D'Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Doniel was sent to get pigs from Alexandria of Egypt. And why specifically from there? Because they were of highest quality. So he was sent to get these Alexandrian pigs. in order to raise them and develop future groups of pigs. The Gemara asks, is that really so, that you can get pigs from Alexandria that are suitable for raising further generations of pigs? Eini, is that so? V'hotanya, you have a source that expresses the opinion that any pig that left Mitzrayim, they would leave, they would be sold to you, but once they're sold to you, their reproductive organs were removed. V'hotanya, todos horofe omer, ein poro v'chazira yoytze me Alexandria Mitzrayim, shein cholchim ho'eim shela. There is not a cow nor a pig that leaves Alexandria that they don't remove the uterus from it, b'shvil shelo tele, so that it would not reproduce. Of course, these merchants in Alexandria wanted to maintain their monopoly on pig production, so they would sell you a pig, but the pig was not capable of reproducing, so that if you wanted to buy more, you'd always have to go back to these vendors in these pig merchants in Alexandria. So the Gemara answers, how is it that Donia was sent to get pigs from Alexandria for the purpose of raising further generations of pigs? The answer is Zutri Aisi below the Tayu. He went and bought small ones, piglets. It didn't occur to the merchants in Alexandria that people would buy a small pig, a piglet, for the purpose of raising future generations. So those, they did not remove the uterus from them. And eventually when they grew in Bavel, they would be capable of producing offspring. Tana Rabbanan. Shloisha hoyu ba'oisa eitza. Regarding the Eitzah, the plan or the scheme involving throwing Hanani, Mishael, Azariah into the fire, there were three in that particular scheme from which Doniel departed. He left it. Who were in the scheme? HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Doniel u'Nevuchadnezzar. And at this point, the Gemara, this Tanaic source will be discussing the departure of Doniel from that plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar, Nezel Doniel Mehacha, Doniel, let Doniel leave here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to make sure that Doniel is not involved or is not present. The Lolemru Bishusei Itznatzel, that it should not be said that their salvation from the fire, the salvation of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah from being burnt in the fire, was because of the merit of Doniel. So if he's not around and he is, and they are saved, it won't be said that they were saved in his merit, but rather on their own merit. For Doniel Omar, Doniel himself said, I've got to get out of here. Ezel mehacha, the lo lekayem bi, I've got to leave here so that it should not be established or fulfilled regarding me. Psile Elohehem tisrefun ba'esh. That if he were to stay around, he too would have been thrown in the fire. And the pasuk in the Torah says that idols are to be burnt. And we'll see in a moment that Doniel himself was in fact an idol figure. Nebuchadnezzar had such high regard for Doniel, he actually worshipped him. Nebuchadnezzar himself was responsible for throwing the other tzaddikim into the fire. He said, Yozil Doniel mehacha, Doniel should get away from here, dolo lemru, so that it should not be said regarding him. People shouldn't say regarding Nebuchadnezzar himself, Kalye le'elohe ba'nura, that he burnt his god, namely Doniel, in the fire. From where do we know that Nebuchadnezzar bowed to Doniel? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Badin Malka Nebuchadnezzar nofal alan poi ule Doniel sogid. It says, the end of the pasuk says, and he bowed, sogid is to bow, bowed to Doniel. The topic heading that we've assigned to the Gemara is found on the side. The nosei, number one, Nebuchadnezzar, soref nevi'e sheker. We find him burning false prophets. And number two, Nebuchadnezzar machnis Yeshua Kohen Gadol itam lekivshan. Together with these false prophets, we will see that Nebuchadnezzar threw in or sent into the fire a tzaddik, Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol. Koyamar Hashem Tzvokos Elokei Israel El Achav ben Koloya Vel Tzitkiah ben Maaseya Hanibim lochem bishmi sheker v'chulei. The names in this pasuk, you see, Achav ben Koloya and Sitkio ben Maaseya, we will see that they are false prophets. It says in the pasuk itself, Hanibim lochem bishmi l'sheker. In other words, they say prophecy in my name, in God's name, but they say lies. Uksiv v'lukach mehem klolo l'chol golus Yehuda asher b'vavel leimor yisimcho Hashem kitzitkio uche'achov asher kolom melech bavel bo'esh. The gist of this pasuk is that the eventual burning of these two people will be a sign and a warning to the rest of the Jewish people. The pasuk says does not use the common word soraf, asher sorfam loy nemar. It doesn't say that. Elo asher kolom. The pasuk uses a different word for burning. The expression kolom, he burnt them. What's the significance of this word? Omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai melameid. This teaches us she'ason kikloyos. They were burnt and made like roasted grains. Yan asher osu nivola biYisrael vayinaafu es nishay re'ehem. My ovud, what did they do that led to their being burnt like this? Ozul legabi barte de Nebuchadnezzar. They went to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Achav amarlo. Achav said to the king's daughter, Ko amar Hashem hashmi el Tzidkia. Thusly says God, you should have intimacy with my friend over here, Tzidkia. V'Tzidkia amar, Ko amar Hashem hashmi el Achav. And he said that you should, hashmi means intimacy, have intimacy with Achav. Ozlo v'omro le lavua. She informed her father that these men were telling her to engage in intimacy with them. Omar lo, Nebuchadnezzar said to his daughter, Elokehem shel Elu, the Almighty, the God of these men, the God of these two fellows, Sone Zimahu, he abhors immodesty. And Zima, a reference to this lifestyle of intimacy, forbidden intimacy in relations. Ki osu legaboch, when they come to you, Nebuchadnezzar tells his daughter, Shadrinu legaboi, send them to me. Ki osu legaboch, when they came to her, Shadrusinu legabi avua, she sent them to her father. Notice in the construction of the word Shadrusinu, you have the root of the word Shodar, is to send, and the suffix Nehu is a reference to them, so she sent them. Omar luhu man Omar luchon. So Nebuchadnezzar said to them, who told you this? Omru, they answered, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, God told us this. V'ho Hanani Mishov Azariah Shaltinu V'omru li Asur. Nebuchadnezzar asks, but I asked these gentlemen, Hanani Mishov Azariah, if this is permissible, and they said it's forbidden. Intimacy with outside the realm of marriage, and especially as was described above, is forbidden. Omrule ananami navi kavasaihu ledidi lo amar luhu ledidon amalon. We are prophets like them. To us, he did not tell this. To them, he told this. Omar luhu. So Nebuchadnezzar says to them, ano boino deivdekinu. I want to check you. If the tikinchu, I want to check you out. Notice the root of this word is bodak. In the middle, you see beis dalet kuf bodak means to check out, and nichu is I want. Nichu is a reference to you in the plural. So I want to check you out. Kihechi debad kisinhu the Hananya Mishav Azariah. Just like I checked them. The suffix of the word debad kisinhu, you see the nun heivav. That's a reference to them. Just like I checked them out. Omru lei. So the Tzidkia and Achav, these phonies, said to Nebuchadnezzar, Inun tlosa havu vanan train. Well, they were three, we're only two. It could be that because of three of them, they had more merit. The group of three has more merit than two, and hence they were saved. We don't want to take a chance. Omar lehu, so Nebuchadnezzar said, that's fair. Bocharu lechon man deboisu badaichu. Choose whomever you want to be with you, and you'll then turn into a group of three. Omru, they said, Yehoshua Kohen Godol, let's have him with us. Savri, they figured, Lesi Yehoshua, let him come, Denofish Zechuse Umagna Alon, because he has such great merit. This man was a great tzaddik, a very pious individual, and because of his massive merit level, he will, Magna Alon, protect us. Achtiyuhu, they lowered them, Shadinu, and threw them into the fire. Inu Iklu, they, the Tzitkiah and Achav, were burnt. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, Ichruchi Mone. All that happened to him was Ichruchi Mone. Ichruchi means singed Mone, his clothing. His clothing were singed. Shneamar, Vayareini Yes Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, Omeid Lefnei, Malach Hashem, Vechule, Uksiv, Vayomer Hashem El Hasatan, Yigar Hashem Becho, Vechule. The continuation of that pasuk says, "Yigar Hashem b'cha habocher b'Yerushalayim halo ze ud mutzal me'esh." We see from these psukim that Yehoshua Kohen Gadol was himself exposed to the fire, but was saved. Amalei Nevuchadnezzar says, "Yodana de tzadiko at." I know that you, Yehoshua, are a righteous man. Elamai tame ahanya b'chpur tenura chanani mishav azaria lo ahanya b'hu klal. He says, Nebuchadnezzar asks, why is it that the fire had some effect, although a minimal effect on you, where in the case of Hanan Mishael Azariah, the fire had no effect? He's asking, why is it that your clothing were singed, where nothing happened to them? Amalei, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol says back, Inu Tlosahavu Vanochad. There were three tzaddikim, and I was a singular tzaddik. We know that Avram Avinu, many years before, was also thrown into the fire in Ur Kasdim, and he was a single individual, and nothing happened to him. In that case, in Avram's case, he was alone. There were no Rishoyim, there were no evil people with him, and therefore the fire had no permission, so to speak, to have any effect. In my case, Havu Rishoyim Bahadi, Visyoyev Rishusa Lenura. Since there were Rishoyim with me, the fire was able to take effect, to have control over the situation. And hence, I too fell victim to the fire that had an effect, and although it only singed my clothing. Hainu Diamri Inchi, based on this, we have a saying, Tre Udi Yaveshi Vechad Retiva, if you have two dry pieces of wood, and one that's wet, oikton yavishi the retiva. The dry wood that burns very well will singe, will burn the wet piece as well. In this case, the two rishayim are viewed as dry. They burnt. They had a true, complete burning, and they had an effect on the one tzaddik, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, in so far as his clothing getting singed. My taima i'anish. The Gemara here is asking, why is it that that the fire did have some effect on him after all? Rashi explains that the answer that he gave to Nebuchadnezzar was simply a push-off. In other words, that he was with Rishayim wasn't the real answer, but there's another answer that is awaiting us. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Why was it that, in reality, why was it that he was affected? Amra Papa, Shayu Bonav, Noisim, Noshim, She'enon, Hagunas, Likuhuna, Valo, Micha, Bahen. Yeshua Kohen Gadol had offspring. The Gemara uses the term Bonav, but if you notice the Meforshim on the Gemara, some of the Meforshim, they say that this is a reference to many generations later. Though he saw them, he lived a long life, and his descendants married women that were not fitting for the kahuna. As many of you may know, the standards of marriage when dealing with kahanim is of a more restrictive or higher or more restrictive nature than it is with the general population. And women that were not to marry into the kahuna married, his descendants married, and he did not protest it. As a result of his remaining silent, the fire had an effect. Shenemar v'Yoshua hoya lavush begodim tzoyim. The posuk says Yoshua was wearing begodim that were filthy. Is it likely that this great man, man of great distinction, would be wearing filthy clothing? Rather, the pasuk is teaching us that his children, his offspring, married women that were not fit to the kahuna, to the priesthood, and he remained silent. The Maharsha explains that the reference to begodim is a reference to the big day kahuna, the priestly clothing. The priestly clothing set the kahuna apart from the rest of people, and his dirty clothing is a sign that he did not, through his offspring, were not set apart. They were marrying women that were not fit to the kahuna, and thereby showing or demonstrating that they are not separated from the rest of the population. And hence you have this reference to begodim tsoyim. Amar Rav Tanchum Dorash Bar Kapora B'Tzipori. Rav Tanchum informs us that Bar Kapora taught in the town of Tzipori, Mai Dichtiv Sheish HaSeurim Ho'ele Nosan Li. This is a posuk in Rus, and the posuk says that Rus received six barley grains from Boaz. Mai Sheish HaSeurim. We'll see later how this pasuk, even though we just flipped into Sefer Rus, how it ties into our sugya of Hanania, Mishael, Vazaria a little bit later. The Gemara wants to know what is meant by her receiving six barley grains. If one were to take it literally, that she received six barley grains literally, is it the way of Boaz, a very respected gentleman, to give a gift of six barley grains? Rashi points out that when it comes to the Miser Oni, when it comes to a tithe, the tithe of that's given to the poor at the granary site, one does not give less than a half kav of Sorim. But that's a more significant measure, much more than six individual barley grains. So would it be the derech of Boaz to give such a minimal matana, which is below the minimum standard? Ella, so what's the meaning of the pasuk of sheish seorim? Ella, sheish so'in. Se'o is a large measure. He gave her six measures. V'chi, the Gemara asks, v'chi gedarko shel isha litol sheish so'in? Is it the way of a woman to carry six se'o? It's a massive amount. It's not likely that he would give her so much that she herself would not be able to carry away. So what was it that Boaz was giving her as referred to in this pasuk? So the Gemara is going to say it is a reference to six grains, literally. And the six grains were not being given to her as a tithe given to the poor, but rather he was using it as a sign. Elo remez romaz lo, she'asidim shisha bonim lo tseis mimeno. There will be six descendants to come forth from her, shemizborcha b'sheish sheish brachas, and each one of these descendants would be the recipient of six blessings, v'elu hein. So we will see with our numbering that we come up with six people that were all descendants from Rus: David, Umoshiach, Doniel, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. The Gemara now will go on to demonstrate how each one of them were the recipients of six brachas. Notice with our markings how nice the daf appears. We'll be featuring the diamond marking. The diamond, as you skim along in the page, you can see David, and then after that, Moshiach. And after that, four gentlemen together, Doniel, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. Let us glance at our topic heading and structural note in the margin. You notice the diamond featured. Boaz Romaz Lerus. Boaz hinted to Rus. Al Yedei Sheish Garine Sur Oirim, through the six barley grains. Shietsu Mimeno Vov Tzeetzoim. There will issue forth from her six descendants. Shebechol Echol Mehem Yu Sheish Brochois Kimefura Lahalon Bagemora, as will be explained as we go on in the Gemara. So, as we mentioned before, the diamond features the names, and under each diamond we will then see six brochas. David Dichtiv Fayan Echod Mehane Orim. We'll see later that this is a reference to Doeg. Doeg Koadomi was telling over to King Shaul regarding David. Vayomer, hine ro'isi ben li'ishai beis halachmi. I saw a son to Yishai from Beis Lechem. And here, notice with our numbering, we will number six brachas, six special blessings that he had received. Yodea Nagain, the Gibor Chayel, the Ish Milchoma, the Navoin Unavoin Davar, the Ish Toyar, Vashem Imoi. Six attributes. The Gemara will make reference to a number of them in its ensuing discussion. The Omar of Yudah Marav, Kol HaPosuk Hazeh, this whole Posuk Lo Omroi Doeg Elo B'Loshon Hora. He said it with evil intent. He was attempting to arouse the wrath of Shaul on David. What did he say then? So some of these points are self-evident, and some of them are explained. Number one, Yodea Nagain, this was the first in the list of the brachas. You can see the numbering system here corresponds to the numbering that we featured in the actual bracha above. The arrows that we've put into the margin is in order to align up the reference to Doeg that is being made by the Gemara right now. Later on, we'll see encounter a third arrow, at which point we'll put the whole story together. So Doeg, whose name we didn't see before, but that will be the Gemara's job later to ask, how do you know that it's Doeg? Nevertheless, for right now, we'll assume that the speaker in the pasuk above, the Echad Mehana'orim above, was Doeg. And he said these things about David to Shaul in order to arouse Shaul's wrath and jealousy over David. What does Yodea Nagain mean? Sheodea Lishael. He knows how to deal, to ask proper questions, and be a participant in Torah discussions. Gibor, what is that? Sheodea Lahashiv. So that he is one who is known to be asked. That's Yodea Lishael. People will address questions to him. And he also knows how to answer. Ish Milchama. What does that mean? Sheodea Lisov Litein B'milchamta Shel Torah. He knows how to participate in a give and take in the war of Torah. The war of Torah is a reference to Torah discussions where parties that are part of such discussions are warring over the truth. Ish Toyar Shemare Ponim B'Halocha. That when he says his opinion, he also proves his opinion. He brings proofs to what he says. Unavoin Dovar Shemevin Dovar Mitoch Dovar. He has the ability to extrapolate, to understand one thing from some previous thing. He is able to analyze. Vashem imoi, shalocha kamoisei b'chol mokoim. That wherever he rules, the halocha follows what he says. So that you can see at this point in the Gemara, we've gone through each one of these brochas and explained what the meaning behind them is. Bekulu omar lahu, regarding most of these brachas, Shaul responded, Yehoinoson v'ni kamohu. My son Yehoinoson is no less than David. However, Kevon di Omar le Vashem imo, when Doeg said that expression, Hashem imo, which we saw means Alocha is like him, like David, wherever he rules, this was an attribute that Shaul himself didn't even have. Milso debedi dei nami lo havebei. Something, an attribute that he himself did not contain. Cholash daite v'ikni bay. He had a feeling of depression and became jealous. The b'shol k'siv, regarding Shaul, it says, u'v'chol asher yifne yarshia. U'b'david k'siv, u'v'chol asher yifne yatzliach. The note on the side, that's put in by the printers, indicates that this pasuk in this form doesn't exist anywhere, but rather maybe it should say lechol derochov maskil, which essentially means that in all his ways he had success. So that you can see in the contrast between Shaul and David, Shaul, it says that wherever he turned there was evil, whereas by David it says wherever he turned there was success. Minolon de doyeg have. At this point, we notice our arrow here as well, and you combine you look back to the previous arrows and you line up all the points. Before this arrow, the previous arrow said that doeg was said over the original pasuk. How do we know that the original pasuk was stated by doeg as the Gemara claimed? The Gemara explains, "Ksiv hocha vayan echod mehana orim." That was where the first arrow appears. You can see the pasuk says that. What is echod mehana orim? It means miyuchad shebena orim, one of the special youths. "Uksiv hosam," and it also says regarding doeg the following pasuk: "Vishom ish meavdei shol bayomahu netzar lifnei Hashem." Ushmoy doyeg ha'adoimi abir haroyim asher l'shol. The expression netzar lefnei Hashem meant he was someone that was engaged in the study of Torah. This expression that we've dashed underlined abir haroyim, Rashi says, almo hahu miyuchad sheben orim dahinu doyeg. The above mentioned reference to the echod mehanorim, which echod means miyuchad, the special one, as the Gemara explained a few lines ago, that's a reference to doeg, who is over here described as abir horoyim. The expression abir horoyim means the strongest of the, literally, of the shepherds, but the reference is to someone that's very special. And so you can see that miyuchad, which also means special, is a reference to doeg, who is featured in this pasuk. We go back to the list of descendants from Ruth that received six brachas. Moshiach, Bechtiv, regarding the Moshiach, it says, V'nocha olov ruach Hashem, ruach chochma, ubina, ruach etzo, ugvura, ruach das, v'yiras Hashem. The pasuk made reference to the nochal of ruach Hashem. The word ruach is explained here, v'herichoy b'yiras Hashem. When you take a look at the Rashi, you'll notice there's a Rashi that we have a singular star. At that point, Rashi says v'logar sinon uksiv. Hence, we've featured it in parentheses. And the Rashi, you'll notice where there's a double star, V'richo b'yiras Hashem, Omar Rav Alexandria, She'et inoy b'mitzvos v'yisurim, that he was loaded up with mitzvos and with trials and tribulations, V'hainu v'hirichoy loshon rechayim. And that's what you'll see now in the Gemara. V'hirichoy b'yiras Hashem, Omar Rav Alexandria, Melamed shehit inoy mitzvos v'yisurim kerechayim. So as we look at this Gemara, we notice six brachas that he received. That was ruach chochma bina, etc. And we have another posuk, comment regarding the Moshiach that said v'hiricho b'yiras Hashem. This idea is that he was loaded up like a rechayim, like a grindstone, like one loads up a grindstone. So too, he was loaded up with mitzvos and yisurim. Rava Omar, demorach vidoyin. Veiricho is a reference to something else, loshen of reach, a loshen of scent, of smell, that he was able to judge through the scent of smell. Doyin means to judge, don. That he, when the Moshiach will judge, he does not judge according to what he sees, but rather according to the sense of smell. And if one were to think that how could one possibly judge with a sense of smell, so the Gemara presents this additional pasuk that says that his judgment will be a judgment of correctness, of tzedek, of that which is right. Bar Kuziva, Molach Tartin Shonen Upalga, was a figure in history known as Bar Kuziva, and the Rashi points out he was a gentleman that lived after the Hurdus monarchy. This Bar Kuziva is now featured in the next couple lines. Omar Lehu Lerabonon, Bar Kuziva told the Rabbanan, Ano Moshiach. I am the Moshiach. Apparently, he had a lot of attributes, was a very successful individual in wars that he waged, and he turned around and claimed that he was the Moshiach. Amulei, so they said to him, B'Moshiach Siv D'Morach V'Doyin, regarding the Moshiach, it says that he judged through the sense of smell. Nechsi Anan I'Morach V'Doyin, let's see if you, through the sense of smell, can judge. When they saw that he was incapable of judging through the sense of smell, they revealed that he was a false Moshiach, katlu, and they executed him. These four were the also descendants from Rus. It says regarding them, Asher, and we have numberings indicating the brachas that they received. It says regarding them, Asher ein bohem kol mum. They have no imperfection. V'tovei mar'eh. They are good-looking. U'maskilin b'chol chochmo. And are wise in many different areas of wisdom. V'yodei das. U'mavinei mado. V'asher koyach bohem lamud b'heichal ha-melech. U'lelamdom sefer v'loshon kazdim. We encounter now a new geometric form. The house form. These will be points that are featured on the side of our Gemara under the Mivneh heading, Biurim ala Pasuk, clarifications regarding the Pasuk we just read. Mai asher ein bohem kol mum. What is a reference to the first of these brachas, that they have no imperfection? Amar Rabbi Chanina, afilu kerivda de kusilta lo havu bahu. Even a rivda de kusiltas, a bloodletter's lance. Bloodletting was a form of refuah, of healing, that people engaged in. They didn't need it because they were so fully healthy. Hence, they didn't even have the scratch, so to speak. That's what it means, a scratch of a bloodletter's lance, which is referred to by the Pasuk. They have no mum. My, what is meant by the sixth bracha? V'asher koyach mem lamud b'heichal ha-melech. Omar Rabbi Chamo, Rabbi Chanina. We've underlined his name, which helps you to see that he also commented just before as well on this pasuk. Malame, this teaches us, shoyu anus onsim es atzman, they strain themselves, min aschoik, u'min asicho, u'min asheno. They strain themselves and kept themselves from laughing, from sicho, from idle speech. Rashi points out, min asicho shelo hoyu misaper b'dvor b'dhem kedei shelo yisganu b'fnei ha-melech. The restriction from idle speech maintained their honor in the eyes of the king. U'min hashino, and they also were able to overcome the feeling of fatigue. What else? U'mamidim al asman b'sho shetzrochim mikveim me'emas machus. And they were able to withhold their needs to relieve themselves bodily, all because of the fear of the king. Vayu bohem mi b'nei Yehuda, Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, v'Azaria. The Pasuk says that they were from the tribe of Yehuda, and then list these names. We're going to see two opinions regarding who in this pasuk was from the tribe of Yehuda. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Kulan Ibnei Yehuda Haim. All of them, not just Doniel, but Hananya Mishael Azariah as well, were from Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar, Doniel Ibnei Yehuda. Doniel himself was from Ibnei Yehuda. Hananya Mishael Azariah Mishar Shvatim. They, however, were from other tribes. Rashi points out that according to this approach, if only Doniel was from Yehuda and Hananya Mishael Azariah were from other tribes, then that which was said above, regarding the six grains that Rus received, Rus being the progenitor of the descendants of David and his descendants, and they were from the tribe of Yehuda, this approach that suggests that Hananya Mishael Azariah were from other tribes is an approach that doesn't follow the drosha mentioned above of the six se'orim. The pasuk in the context of Chizkiyo HaMelech says, "Umibonecho asher yetsu mimcha asher toilid yikachu v'hoyu sorisim b'heichal melech bavel." the Navi informs the king Chizkiyahu that his descendants will be taken from him. In other words, they will be sent into exile, and they will be sorisim in the palace of the king. My sorisim. Of course, this pasuk is a reference to Chizkiyahu's descendants, and since we're in the context of Hanan and Azariah, we will see later that it in fact refers to them. What does the word sorisa mean? Rav Omar sorisa mamish. These are the word soris mamish. Soris means sterilized. So sorisa mamish were literally sterilized. Rabbi Chanina Omar shenistarsa v'dizor b'mehem. The word sorisa means that in their lifetime, the desire for idol worship ceased, was stopped. We see triangles featured as we go down the next couple lines of Gemara. In order to appreciate their role, let us glance at the Mivneh heading we have on the side. The triangle with the point facing up says, Bishlamo lemadamar nistar so avodizora, that it will work out better, the position that says that the desire for Avodah Zorah ceased. According to that opinion, things will work out better. And we'll have to see what it's referring to when we go into the Gemara. With the triangle reversed, this will be a point at which the Gemara will say, Bishlamo Mandi Omar, Soris Mamish, that the other psukim will be more easily understood if you held that they were literally sterilized. Let's see now the two opinions as the Gemara presents them. Bishlamo Lamandi Omar, Shinistas Avodah Zorah B'mehem. Things will work out better according to this opinion, namely the opinion of Rabbi Chanina. Hainu d'chtiv, with that I will be able to understand the pasuk that says, V'chavol lo isai b'hon. Regarding Hanan v'Shor Azariah, it says they had no imperfection, no injury was upon them. Elo, l'man d'yomar sarisa mamash, but if you say they were literally sterilized, so my v'chavol lo isai b'hon. What does it mean that they had no injury? There was an injury, the injury of having gone through sterilization. The Gemara answers, according to the opinion that says that they were literally sterilized, this pasuk still has meaning. Chavlo denura, when a pasuk says that they suffered no injury, it means no injury through the fire. The Gemara asks, but as far as injury through the fire is concerned, there's another pasuk that already refers to that. V'hoksiv v'reach nur lo ados bohen, that even the smell of the fire had no effect on them. So, fire is already accounted for. So what does it mean, v'chavolo isai b'hon, that they had no injury? It must be that it's a reference to actual sterilization. And in other words, that they were not sterilized. Hence, the sorisim would have to mean the stoppage of idolatry. So the Gemara says, no, everything is referred to the other opinion, lo chavlo v'lo recha. It's all referring to fire. In other words, they were in fact sterilized according to this opinion. The psukim that indicate they suffered no injury was all fire related. If you'll ask, but there are two fire references, the answer is yes, there are two. One is a reference to the physical injury through the fire, and the other one is through they were not even affected by the smell of fire. Bishlam Madi Omar, Shinisaso Avodizor Vimehem. Things will work out better according to this opinion, that Sorisim is a reference to the stoppage of the desire for idolatry. Hainu Dichtiv, Koyamar Hashem La Sorisim, Asher Yishmuru Es Shabso Sai. And thusly Hashem said to the Sorisim, a reference to those who were at the time that the desire for Avodizorah stopped. But if you'll say it's a reference to males that were physically sterilized, would the pasuk feature the undesirable, the negative, when featuring the righteous? In other words, when this pasuk says "Ko Amar Hashem LaSorisim," it would be hard to imagine that the pasuk is saying, "Thusly Hashem said to the sterilized ones." And in the pasuk is a reference to tzaddikim, as it goes on to say, the sterilized ones that kept the Shabbos. So, in order to appreciate this particular pasuk, it's much easier to accept the position that thusly Hashem said to the sorisim, to those in whose lifetime Avodah Zorah was abolished. So the Gemara says, no, as far as the
opinion that they were actually sterilized. Both aspects were contained in them. In other words, they Chana v'Shal Zaya, were people that were actually sterilized, and Avodah Zorah stopped in their time. However, when the Pasuk says, thusly Hashem says to the Sarisim, we can understand that as a reference to the Sarisim aspect of in whose life the desire for Avodah Zorah stopped. Now, notice the triangle flips over. Bishlam olam adomar sarisim mamish. Things will work out better according to the opinion that's a reference to those that were actually sterilized. Hainu dichtiv. With that, we understand the pasuk there in Yeshaya Perek Nunvav pasuk hey, which is just after the pasuk we recently quoted of Ko Amar Hashem Lasarisim. It goes on there to say Bevesi uvachamosai Yad Vashem Toiv mibonim umibonos, that these Sarisim that keep the Shabbos, keep the Torah, are better than boys and girls having children. So it's likely that the reading of this pasuk that just preceded Ko Amar Hashem LaSorisim is a reference to those that were actually sterilized. As you can see, that as long as they keep the Torah mitzvahs, their mitzvah performance is better than having children. But according to that opinion, that it meant the abolishing of the desire for idolatry. My toiv mibonim umibonos. What's the reference to that they are better than children? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, mibonim shehoyu lohem kvar umesu. It's a reference to not necessarily being sterilized, but that they had children already, but died. So the prophet is offering words of comfort, so to speak, that as long as they keep mitzvahs and accumulate mitzvahs, that is better than having their children continue living even. My shame oilom etein loy asher lo yikores. The posuk in the same location that we've been discussing till now in Yeshaya Perek Nunvav Posuk Hey adds these words. The focus is on the expression etein lo, which is in the singular form. Up till now in the posuk was referring to plural. What is the point of having this singular form? Omer of Tanchum, Dorosh Bakapora Betzipori, Ze Sefer Doniel Shenikra Ashmo. This is a reference to a special privilege that Doniel received, that he had a book in the Tanakh called by his name, the book of Daniel. Once we mentioned that there is a Doniel had a sefer with his own under his own name. We're now going to ask about another figure who did not have a sefer in his own name, even though he was responsible for most of its content. Michti, kol mili de Ezra, Nechemia ben Chachalio Amrinu. Most of the contents of the book of Ezra were recorded by Nechemia. Unechemia ben Chachalio, my taimo lo ikri sifro al shmei. Why is it that he, unlike Doniel, did not merit having a book in his name? So before we go on in the Gemara, we notice now a new geometric form, a volcano marking. This is featured under the Nosei Mivne heading in the margin. The volcano feature form is there. You can see it. And we've written in, Te'omim shelo zocha Nechemia. We will be offering reasons why Nechemia did not merit Shenikro Sefer al Shmo, that did not have a book recorded in his name. In other words, carrying his name. Benigud leDoniel, in contrast to Doniel, that did merit having a book in his name. The Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, mipnei shehichzik toivo liatzmo, because he was claiming the rights to receive benefit based on his actions. A form of self-pride expression. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Zohra li Elokai Litova. The Gemara asks, if that's his whole shortcoming, well, David Nami Meimar Omar, David also has an expression of a similar nature, Zochreini Hashem Birtzoin Amecha Pokdeini Bishuasecha. The Gemara answers that there's a qualitative difference. David Rachmi Hu Dekaboi. David's posuk, the reference here is a reference to a prayer of David. David was praying. However, in the case of Nehemiah, he was not praying, but rather was saying to God, remember the good things that I've done. We see a volcano marking again, which is another explanation as to why Nehemiah did not merit having a book in his name. Rav Yosef Amar Pnei Shesiper Begenusan Shel Rishonim, because he spoke in an offhanded fashion, in a negative fashion concerning his predecessors. And we'll see later his predecessors that were greater than he. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Vahapochois Horishonim Asher Lefonai Hichbidu Alaom. Vayikumehem Belechem V'ayin Echod Kesef Shkolim Arboim V'chulei. Nehemiah is referring to the leaders that preceded him that dealt in a heavy-handed fashion with the people. V'af al Doniel Shigodol Mimenu Siper. And he spoke negatively even concerning Doniel, who was greater than he. U'menolon de'godol Mimenu. How do we know that Doniel was greater than Nehemiah? Dichtiv, the Gemara will give in the next few lines. We've included here a long answer marking to show how that it takes the next few lines to prove this point. It says regarding Doniel, For isi ani Doniel levadi es hamar'o. I saw the vision. I alone saw the vision. Va'anoshim ashehoyu imi lo ro es hamar'o. But the men that were with me did not see the vision. But they were overcome by great fear, and they ran to hide. Uman ninu anoshim, who were the men that were with Doniel? And the references to the word we dashed underlined just the line before. Omar Rav Yirmiyah, Vitemo Rav Chiyo Bar Abba, Ze Chagai Zecharya Umalochi. This is a reference to these three prophets that lived at the time of Doniel and also continued to live into the period of the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. The point of this last piece of Gemara is to show that Doniel was greater than, or Doniel was with these men, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and we know that they were prophets. And Doniel, the Gemara will go on Daf Tzadi Dalet to say that Doniel had certain attributes that were greater than even they. And as Rashi points out, we will find later that Doniel was greater than they were, and they were prophets. And Nehemiah, on the other hand, was not a prophet. And even so, even though Nehemiah was less than these gentlemen, he nevertheless had the took the liberties, we'll say, of speaking negatively about them. As a result of that, he lost the merit in having a book of the Tanakh carrying his name. With that, we complete our shiur for today.